Say good morning to everyone. It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. It's good to be here in the city of Longview once again, to be gathered together with the saints here at Real Road. It's been years since I've been over here. I can't say it's been years since we've been back to Longview because we were just here like 3 or 4 weeks ago. We've been back and forth several times since we have been in Louisville, Kentucky. To get the call to come and to proclaim God's word here once again, it's been over 15 years, I suppose, if not longer, that I have been here to preach. And I believe that was just maybe in the evening time. I'm not quite sure. My mind is not what it used to be, and it probably never will be again. But Brother Grammer, again, we did meet back in the day. I tried to make him remember that on yesterday, and it was hard to do. His mom and dad encouraged us to drive down to Mineola one year to hear him preach. And we appreciate his work in the gospel to proclaim God's word and his work here with the saints at Real Road. Some of you, again, we have been talking, meeting since 2004 when I was preaching over at the Southeast congregation, and have had a wonderful relationship since that day. And that's enough about that, I suppose. This morning, we are going to look at and talk about, I'm going to ask you some questions, and hopefully you don't ask me any as we go through this class on this morning. In reference to, is the Bible from God or from man? Is the Bible from God or from man? That is the topic on this morning. And we're going to start out, and we're going to ask the question, first off, who is man? Who is man? Say again. Us people. Us people. Is there a different answer? Who is man? Created being? Oh, you want to just go a step further, huh? Created in God's image. We hadn't got to that one yet, have we? Well, who is God then? If man is a created being us, and he was created in God's image, who is God? Who is God? He's our creator. He's our creator. All right? So, let's go to the very beginning. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. That's, you know, might as well start in the beginning. No better place. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Again, God is the creator of all things. Within creating the heavens and the earth and everything in it, where did man come from? He's included in that number, okay? We all know that. On what day did God create man? On the sixth day. And as Anita pointed out, he created man in his own image. And that was what he said. Let us create man in our own image, or in our image, okay? In our image. You look at Genesis 1:31. Genesis 1:31. Everything that God created. You know, we go from day one through day five during the creation. You get to day six. And it mentions that everything that God created was what from that verse? See how I'm looking at you? You said what? And what is everyone else saying? So what's the answer? Very good, all right? And no offense, okay? I tell people back in Louisville, and I started it long before when I first started preaching, I like to call people not out, but I like to, you know, let you know that I'm just like you. That's where I say things and people have to get on to me, but I'm not getting on to you. We want the right answer, right? The answer is very good. All things were very good. Good, 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 very good. Has God ever, and we're gonna find this out as we go through this lesson on this morning, has God ever, and will he ever, make a mistake? How many times do we make mistakes? Did y'all hear how I asked that question, though? How many times do we make mistakes? We don't just make one, do we? We make several. God has never, ever made a mistake. So let's ask this question once again. Is the Bible from God or man? Is the Bible from God or man? We can answer that question by just looking at the scriptures. And some will say, well, I don't believe in God. All you got to do is open your eyes. Walk outside, look at what is out there, the creation. Say, where did these things come from? Where did they come from? And again, man, who has made many mistakes, will come up with many different ideas of where things came from. The Big Bang Theory, okay, or whatever. God spoke all things into existence. All things. Which tells us, by believing in God, we have to believe in him by hearing his word. But we go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We start talking about God spoke everything into existence. We look at what this verse says, and then we're going to go and we're going to continue. We're going to look at some other scriptures as well, again, as we answer this question. And this question that we're answering this morning is a question that many times grown folks ponder in their minds. And they never ask that question out loud. But a small child asked this question one Sunday morning. Is the Bible from God or man? And what we do back at the West End congregation, if there's a question put in the box, then, you know, I try to answer that question that same day. So I have to, you know, just push the lesson I have, you know, put together aside and answer that question. Because that person is there at that moment. And you may never see them again. We want them to have the right answer. All right? So, 2 Timothy 3:16. Someone read that for us. How many times have you seen manuals? All right? Oh, that's wrong there. We need to change that. That doesn't suit us this day. We're not going to go by that. We're going to rewrite it. Has the Bible been rewritten in that fashion or in that way that we don't like what it says or it was wrong? Has the Bible been rewritten to say that what God has already said, the inspired word of God, the God-breathed word, was wrong? Is that the way we view God's word today? No, we don't. All scripture is right. God has never, ever been wrong, but man has. Man has. If man would have written the Bible, what would it say? What would it say? Well, you could probably go and look at the New World Translation, or you could look at the Book of Mormon and whatever books, other books are out there that man says this is the Word of God, and you can find what man would say. John 1:1 in the New World Translation, which is their Bible, says that God is not really God, he's a God. Lowercase g. Isn't that the very words that the serpent said unto Eve? That the day that you eat of that tree, that you will become as a God. What is a God? What is a God? And I guess when we think about that, we have to think about a God, lowercase g, as the God says, can do nothing for himself. Don't know the thoughts of anybody. Can't carry himself anywhere. You have to carry him or it. So we know that that's God. That's not God's word. That's man's word. And so we have to stick with God's word. In the book of Psalm 12 and the verse is 6. Any questions or comments before we go any further? Any questions or comments? Psalm 12 and the verse is 6. So again, when you read 2 Timothy 3:16, looking at the word of God and what the word is for, again, how many times, I just want to go back there just for a second, how many times do we like to be corrected? How many times do we like to be right? Never corrected, but always right. All right? But the word of God, it corrects us. That's, you know, we can go to his word and we can see where we need to change some things. All right. So in the book of Psalm 12:6, someone read that for us. His words are pure. What does it mean by being pure? What does that word mean? Pure. Perfect. Perfect. Doesn't need any changing. All right? And when you think about the silver going through the furnace, what happens as that silver goes through the furnace? What is it? Why do you put the silver in the furnace? Get all the impurities out. Now, why do we put God's word in our hearts? Get the impurities out. To get the impurities out. You cannot use anything else to do that. You know, we go through these times in our lives where our bodies are just not functioning the way we want them to. And we have to go to the doctor. You know, after a certain age, us men, we have to go to the doctor. And ladies do the same. And they give you this junk to drink in order to cleanse you. Are we really cleansed? You know, because sometimes you go to the doctor and he says, "No, you got to go back home because you're not where you need to be." Again, that's man. So they have given you something in order to clean you out, but yet it hasn't fully did what it's supposed to do. Is God's word like that? No. If you put his word in your hearts and you allow it to do what it's supposed to do, it will do that. And the reason it will not do it is because we do not allow it to do it. So the question again, is his word, is the Bible from God or man? How many of us have sinned? And I'm looking around the room and we're all at an age where we realize what sin is. If you don't know, let me tell you what it is according to the Bible. To him that knoweth to do right and you don't do it, it is sin. So how many of us have never done anything wrong? No one's going to raise their hand? I didn't ask you to raise your hand, did I? Raise your hand if you've never done anything wrong. Still, no one raises their hand. This book, again, which is called the Bible, has pointed out what sin is, has listed many of sins. if you wrote this book as a man, the things that you have participated in, would you condemn those things? No, we would not condemn those things. Why? Because we, again, do not want to be wrong. We don't want anyone to look down at us. We don't want anyone to talk about us. We don't want anybody to condemn us. Well, condemn? Well, if man wrote this book, would he condemn himself? He would not. He would not. So we could stop right there and we can say, God wrote the Bible. And we need to follow what his word says. But let's continue. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and the verse is 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and the verse is 4. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. The rock, his work is perfect. How can we talk against something that's perfect? How can we look at something that's perfect and say that, oh, that needs to be changed? How can we do that? The only way we can do that is with an honest heart. That's the only way. But if we are honest with ourselves, we will accept his work. And we would want to conform to it. But if we don't want to accept it, we're not going to conform to it. And we're going to say, I wonder why God's word do not align with my life. Again, that's man. That's man. And when man says something like that, man needs to take a whole lot of steps backwards. And he needs to open up the book. And he needs to, you know, just put it before him and say, I need to change. I need to get right. I need some correction in my life. But when he don't do that, the man needs to understand that he is going to be condemned. A lot of people that do not believe that the Bible is God's word, on the day of judgment, they're going to be in for a big, big surprise. But they're going to get what they deserve. Well, we all deserve death, but they're going to get what God's word says that they're going to get. And they're going to be cast into the lake which burns with fire, which is the second death. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Someone read that for us. What does unchangeable mean? What does unchangeable mean? You ever met that person where you look at them and say, he'll never change. Or she'll never change. What are you saying about that person? What are you saying about that person? You know, I can imagine people saying that about me. He'll never change. It'll never amount to anything. But you know, they were wrong. I did change. I did amount to something. You know, I'm 5'8". I remember graduating high school, joining the Army. I was 124 pounds. I changed. Like 180 now. I remember getting up to 100 and 140. I was miserable. I was changing. But when we look at a verse like this that says, again, read that one more time. Not one thing, but two unchangeable things. Unchangeable. It's going to always be the same. Always be the same. God cannot do what? He cannot lie. What about us? What about man? Can man lie? And when we lie, what do we have to do? We have to repent. How many times has God ever repented about anything? How many times? Zero. 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 That repentance there, that word, doesn't mean that God had to change what he did. Resentment, but not in the form of repenting. Because repenting, he would have had to go back and not just kill the ones outside the ark, but he would have had to kill whom? Everybody. So that's not the repentance. It's not used in the form of man repenting there. All right? And that's another study. That's another study. Yes. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 6:18. Okay. Okay. So, just explaining them, all right? With our word today, should we make a promise or should we just do? We should just do. God's great promise was to whom? Who was his promise to? Say it louder. Okay, man, but not just man, but Abraham, okay? And it comes funnels on down. You go to Acts chapter 2, and you look there in verse 39, where it talks about his promise. It was to you, to your children, to those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. You look there, and it comes to man, made to Abraham, but for man. That promise, God did not lie about that promise. We today are benefiting from that promise that God has made. Now, we make promises, and how do we handle those promises, or how do we handle our word? We go back on it. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, yeah, I know I said it, but I didn't mean what I said. Is that the God we serve? No. He has said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And so therefore, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. All right? Let's continue. Let's go to the book of John chapter 12. Any questions or comments before, again, we go any further? John chapter 12, verse 48. John 12, verse 48. Someone read that. All right. That says a whole lot about this book. If you reject what God has said, he is going to turn you away. Because he's going to we are going to be judged by this book. Do we always quickly accept what we find in God's word, or what we hear from his word? Or are we quick to jump on that and say, yes, that's exactly what I need to do? No, we don't. I was telling a man one time in reference to what the Bible said, and you know what his reply to me was? If you don't tell me, I don't have to worry about it. That's not true. Just because we act like we don't know doesn't mean that we're not going to be judged according to. You're speeding up and down real road, and the police officer pulls you over. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? What lie are you going to tell? I didn't know. I didn't know. All right. I was in Hudson, and I was speeding. That's what the man told me when he pulled me over. But I honestly did not know that the speed limit had changed. I thought it was still 70. And he said, no, it's dropped down to 55. And he, good thing I had my Kentucky license. And he said, well, since you're from out of state, I'm going to let you go this time. And I was thankful that he let me go, because I honestly did not realize that the speed limit had dropped down to 55 instead of 70, because I had just come out of a 70. But when we look at his word and we say that, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Is he going to let us slide with that on the last day? He's not. What if we only keep part of his word? Because again, we have already established, I do hope, that the Bible is not from man, it's from God. What do we do with his word? How much of his word do we keep? How much of his word should we keep? How much of his word should we keep? We need to keep all of it. All of it. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21 through 23. I'm doing my very best to keep the word of God. Because again, we have established that it is his word and not man's word. And he's going to judge us according to his word. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Someone read that. What a great debate on that day. In your name. Not just because we, wanted to make a good showing, but in your name, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We done many wonderful works in your name. Is that enough? Is that enough? Where's everything else that you were supposed to be doing? Or why did you do some things that you were not supposed to be doing? That's what we need to consider when we start talking about God's word in comparison to man's word. A great departure. Because individuals, again, are going to be judged according to his word. What is, and I don't know if anybody knows this answer or not, but maybe you do. What is the capacity that this building will hold? What is the number that this building will hold? Okay, let's just say, how many? 250. You're having a gospel meeting. Wouldn't that be great if 250 people showed up? 250 people are here. The capacity is 250. You have five more individuals that want to come in. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What would you do? What would you do? Answer the question.
I'd make room for it.
But it only holds 250. We're going to make room for it. We're not going to go outside. We're going to break the law. Y'all got to stay with me now. We're going to break the law. Because we are who? We're a man. We're a man. I know we can get five more people in here. The fire marshal has no idea of what he's talking about. Five more people. So we bring them in. Five more come. What are we going to do? Scoot over. No. Who said that? Who said? No. No, 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 no. This is pre-pandemic, okay? This was back in the day where meetings were held 2 and 3 weeks long. The tent is overflowing. That's what we want. We want it to overflow. 250, no. 300. We have them in the building. Now we have to open the doors, but we're not going outside. We're just going to have to turn up the speakers. All right? Because we want the building to be full. Why? Because we're a man. When the fire marshal comes, he's coming through that door. We want some people to go out the back door because we don't want to get fined. Maybe he's just coming to hear the word too. 250 people here, and he knows that the capacity has been met, but he wants to hear the word of God. You think he's going to leave? No, he's going to be that 251st person here in this building because he's man. The God that we serve says this again in verse 23, and then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who workers of iniquity. That is God's word versus man's word. God's way versus man's way. His way will not change for nobody or nothing. He's God. Do we agree with that? Have we, by looking at his word this morning, we all believe that there is a God? We could go with many other scriptures, and I'm pretty sure if you were teaching this lesson, that you would have some different scriptures to show that God's word is from him and not from man. But we can't end right there. We have to give at least one more scripture. One more scripture, all right? 2 Peter 1:20. Man wrote the Bible. Have you ever heard that before? Man wrote the Bible. And you know, you could give them that and say, yes, man did write the Bible, but not in the sense that you're talking or that you're speaking of. 2 Peter 1:20. 2 Peter 1:20. Someone read that for us. Keep reading. All right. So just as the prophet spoke, how did men write? Same way. Knowing, first of all, that no prophet of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Okay. When we say interpretation, or that's just the way you interpret it, what are we doing? What are we giving way to? We're giving way to man's ideas. We're dismissing what God has said, and we're giving way to man's ideas. And when we hear that, oh, that's just the way you interpret it. And you know what they would tell you as they're saying that's just the way you interpret it? They would go, and they really don't understand what interpretation means. They would go and say, well, my Bible says this. Your Bible. Okay, let's look and see what your Bible says. You know what their Bible is going to say? It's going to say the very same thing that your Bible says. We sometimes get interpretation mixed up with understanding. And that's what we're going to be talking about the second hour. Understanding who God is. But knowing that the Bible comes from him, and that the men that penned these things penned them because this is what the Holy Spirit told them to pen. And who did the Holy Spirit get his orders from? From God. From God. So all we have from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation is God's word. Not man's, but God's word. And we need to be very appreciative of that on this morning, because we have the right to assemble together because of his word. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It was great coming in this morning and talking with Brother Gordon. Great. And then the others that started coming in that we haven't seen in a long time, it felt good. And you know what? When we look at Hebrews 10, 24, it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." That's why we come together. To provoke unto love and good works. And he says, you know, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, men have taken that verse and they have looked at it and they have, well, that's really not what it's talking about there. That's not what it's talking, you know. What is the theme of this gospel meeting? The simplicity of God and the complications of man. Man complicates things. I'm not going to try to go and do a whole lot of research on what it means to do this or what it means to do that. But I just take the words and I look at them. And when it talks about provoking, you know, stirring up, when it talks about assembling, coming together, I take it at heart. Face value. You give me a $100 bill, I'm not going to say, is this really a 100 or is that a 10? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that $100 bill and I'm going to go buy something with it. And if it's, you know, they mark those things now. They look at them in the light. If it's counterfeit, I'm coming back and looking for you. But I'm going to try my very best to spend it. We need to take God's word at face value. His word is not counterfeit. It is what it is, and we need to accept it. Any questions or comments concerning the lesson on this morning? I believe we're almost out of time. I don't know how y'all end y'all class with a bell or, you know, with a bell. It's time. He said it's time. That was right on time then, wasn't it?